This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, some notable injuries yesterday. Obviously, one in particular related to the Eagles and two with the Dallas Cowboys. So let's get to the NovaCare Rehabilitation Injury Report. And good morning to you on this Monday morning as we come in, as John said, to one of the top five songs of all time. Like 5,000 years from now, John saying Billie Jean still in the top five. Which, by the way, I got to tell you, over the weekend, I was thinking We Are the World might be also. I don't know that it gets proper credit for what a spectacular song it is.
It's in mine. I mean, you're right, Joe.
I
don't even know if it's a spectacular song.
No, it
is. I know it's an amazing collaboration. I know it's really interesting. It's probably the most interesting song that I've ever, I could ever imagine.
I think of that. I think it's underrated in a certain sense because it never gets mentioned when someone says, what's the best song of all time?
Oh, that's so true.
But it should be.
No one says We Are the World.
No.
But it's got everyone's favorite artist. Like, that room contained everyone.
Well, and
everyone's favorite artist. Well, at some point in your life, your favorite artist was represented in that room.
I hear you. And the backstory of what it represented, which was an effort to help people.
To
That gives it extra
USA
credit.
USA for Africa.
Yeah, that's a whole nother part of it, if you will.
Right.
All right, let's get to the NovaCare Rehabilitation Injury Report. Of course, the Birds, with a win. It was a close win yesterday, but I thought in many ways the Eagles were very impressive. Unfortunately, AJ got hurt. Let's talk to Dr. Jason Wong, an orthopedic surgeon with the Orthopedic Institute, Briel Orthopedics in New Jersey, division of Ortho NJ. Dr. Wong specializing in sports medicine and the treatment of sports-related injuries, including knee and shoulders. And obviously for A.J. Brown, it was a knee yesterday. Good morning, Dr. Wong.
Good morning.
Well, we appreciate you joining the program. I wish it wasn't to talk about A.J. Brown getting hurt. So I know you've seen the video. He suffers what seems to be a bruised knee, but who knows? Maybe there's a little bit more in there. Got up slowly after taking the hit. What did you sense from what you saw and what it could mean?
You know, it happened so quickly, it's hard to say. There's always a chance he might have injured the medial collateral ligament or even the posterior cruciate ligament the way he had fallen on his knee. Mm-hmm. But the bruise certainly is the case there. That's a hard field down there. So, yeah.
The bruise from a helmet or the impact?
Delaney,
was
His whole body just came down right on that right knee, really hard.
Okay.
It twisted a little bit. It looked like, on the video, it looked like he twisted just enough. So he might have tweaked that medial collateral ligament. And you can injure your posterior cruciate ligament if you fall directly onto the knee real hard.
Let's go worst case scenario just to have a framework here. Worst case scenario, how long could he be out?
Well, he can certainly be out for probably about 3 to 6 weeks, depending on how bad the injury is. Unfortunately, we have to wait for the MCL or the MRI to see what's going on with his knee.
So. Just a huge range with all the variety of stuff that could be wrong in there. Man, tough to wait on that. So how about the Dallas Cowboys? We know Dak Prescott is injured. It's a hamstring. Do we know anything further about that? Could this keep him out of our game, Doc?
It could. A hamstring could take him out for the season if it's real bad. It all depends if it's pulled off the bone or if he had completely ruptured it. It's hard to say.
Here's what we know based on just the Eagles. It's hard to follow the whole leg. But in recent years, and certainly this year with the Eagles, when a player has a hamstring injury, he typically misses the next game.
Yeah, I mean, he misses the next game or a few more games after.
AJ was out 3 weeks. Goddard's been out for a
long
Mailata.
Time.
Yeah,
so they take their time.
Doc, I'm no Doc. I like that line. Doc, I'm no Doc. But my sense is it's probably unlikely he plays.
Yeah.
Did you see the CeeDee Lamb shoulder injury, Doc?
I did see it.
What do you make of it?
Are we going to have to deal with him? An AC joint injury. That could be out. He could be out for 3 weeks.
It's an AC
also.
Joint injury?
It seems like it, yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
that's
he could be out for anywhere between three to six weeks.
Even though he finished the game, meaning he guts it out, but there's something in there when they look at it today and say.
Yeah. Knowing that he came back in the game, I would think he's probably out for maybe 2 to 3 weeks. But if it's real bad, he could be out 3 to 6 weeks.
Okay. I guess that's good news.
Not for him, Joe.
No. I'm a cold-hearted guy, Doc. All right. Of course, for more information on Dr. Jason, you don't have to say, well, I'm a cold-hearted guy. I was just joking around.
I agree with the offensive plays. I think we have to be aggressive offensively.
There you go. All right, Dr. Jason Wong, of course, as I mentioned, an orthopedic surgeon in New Jersey, Division of Ortho NJ. Make sure you get yourself to orthoinstitute.com. For all of his wonderful care, whether it's the knee or the shoulder, again, orthoinstitute.com, the NovaCare Rehabilitation Injury Report. Dr. Wong, we appreciate you being a part of the program today. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, my man. Let's get back to the phones. Let's talk to Nick. He's calling from Wilmington. Nick, good morning. Nicky.
Hello.
Hey, Nick.
Oh, hey. What's going on, everyone?
Good morning,
buddy. Nicky.
Well, it's like
a lot of people call you Nicky Nick.
Well, it's like a let's go, you know. I mean, I might have to delay time until he's ready to rock and roll. So my way of filling time was to call you, Nicky Nick. I mean, it's just you know.
I've gotten a lot. Usually it's Big Nick because I'm only 5'7".
Settle down.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
Let's make some noise. Come on.
I'm going to call you Nick, not at night. Nick in the morning. Anyway,
it's
all right,
fun.
Nick. What do you got for us today?
So, a couple things just about the Eagles game. Number one, Saquon's just an absolute monster. Like, that dude, I mean, Giants are just rolling over hard because they let such a good player go.
Nick, let me just say that. Not just that, that they wasted 5 or 6 years with him.
They
had one team that made the playoffs. I mean, how... amazing was it when the announcer yesterday said in the last whatever it was, before he got here, like two seasons or whatever, he only had 3 100-yard games, whatever that fact was. Like, they wasted this guy. They had no receivers, no quarterback, and usually a very limited offensive line. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's hard to think that a guy like that can only do that little stuff or those little things that of the Giants, but it's the Giants, what do you expect?
Yep.
Number two, I don't know what these refs get paid, but it seems like there are so many more mishaps on, like, everybody in the world can see that he was touched from your couch. But when someone's 2 feet away, this is like the face mask on Sam Darnold last week for the Vikings. How do you not see these really easy calls? And it turns the games.
I'll tell you this, Nick. I'm like 1,000% less bothered by the refs on the field than the replay guy. Because, the field, man, it happens fast. You're going to miss.
Bang, bang.
That's why we have replay. That's the whole freaking point.
It's the whole point.
why do you have replay if you still get it wrong? But anyway, and my last point is really, you know, I don't think Nick Sirianni's like a terrible coach, but it seems like he outcoaches himself more chances in all these situations where you kick a field goal, you just completely shut down any momentum that the Jaguars have. And again, they're the Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence is good, but
he's not. He's actually bad.
Well, I mean,
I know what you mean. He can beat you, but he's not likely to. Yeah.
But it's like just step on the guy's neck and don't let him breathe anymore. Like, but when you're like in the 4th-and-3 one, I think was the one when it was 16-22, you get a field goal, 2-possession game. Like, just kick the field goal, then you're done.
I thought that was the biggest of all the mistakes. Nick, appreciate the call. Very good call, buddy. Here's what I do know. If you're just waking up, we had referenced it earlier, but I want to say again, the great Quincy Jones passed away in the last few hours. And so paying tribute to him today. Obviously, we are the world one of, you know, thousands, I guess, of things he was involved in. And legendary career in the world of music. 215-592-9494. All right, so the Eagles, obviously the main thing, but the Jason Kelce and that kid thing is a discussion point. So is Joel Embiid and Marcus Hayes. We'll get this segment to what Joel said on Friday. We'll unpack that audio. Look, here's where I'm at on the Eagles from yesterday. Very impressed, frankly, and very encouraged. I know the game got closer than a lot of people wanted, that we all wanted, but I also recognize that happened in large part because the NFL handed 7 points to the other team. Like, here, other team, take 7. Now, I'm not saying that was all that happened, because obviously Sirianni's decisions made things more complicated and in many ways junked up the game. There's no question. But, I mean, let's not lose sight of the fact Saquon Barkley didn't actually fumble the ball, and the NFL said he did on a booth review, and that was a joke. Look, here's what this game to me boils down to. Jalen Hurts did a lot of really good things. I was very impressed. Very impressed. He's always had a good deep ball, but he also is getting back to using his legs more and doing it in a very good way. And he's still taking too many sacks at times holding the ball, but he did a lot of really good. It was a well above average game by Jalen Hurts. I was very impressed by him. Saquon, obviously. Devontae, obviously. Saquon's an all-timer. And the Eagles defense, again, played an excellent game. Now, I know we have to continue to judge the defense with a grain of salt because of who they play. Guys, I think there's a chance Trevor Lawrence is one of the 5 worst starting quarterbacks in pro football. I think he stinks. I think he stinks. So I look at that. I look at when they beat Cleveland. I look at when they beat the Giants. You know, I'm still not really sure yet on the defense, but I know this.
They're
a lot better than they were at the end of last year. A lot better. A lot better. They might be pretty darn good. And they, plus the skill position players on offense and an offensive line, gives the Eagles a chance. And it's the first time this year I feel this, that they can do some damage now this year. They are in this thing. They've got me excited. I think they've got a lot of people excited. We do have to see them play better competition. But I was very encouraged by the Eagles yesterday. It's where I'm at. Sirianni.
I feel mad at you. I don't care. Like, good. Okay. You feel encouraged. Great. Okay. I feel like saying, duh. I feel like saying, yeah, obviously, Jalen, like, get on board. Several weeks ago, take a look at this.
I'm not going too far with Jalen and telling you he's definitely top 10. He's all the way back. I'm not saying that. I'm telling you he played a much better game, and the arrow in the last couple of games has trended up. And I am. Yesterday, I was impressed with how he played and encouraged.
Gosh.
That's where I'm at.
Good. I'm glad.
Good for
I'm
your good.
I'm glad that you can perceive that improvement. And it really is an improvement. It's obviously what needed to happen. The reports are he went back, you know, into the lab during the bye and came back out. And since he's not been turning it over, and there's a refocus for everyone.
I will say this though, they
which is very important.
They got to start.
They look that way.
I felt this way for the 2 months of the season. I'll say it again. I still think they got to use this Shipley guy a little bit. Because they're going to get Saquon killed.
Well, I am worried about the 30 touches thing.
And it was 31 because there was one where there was a penalty. So it was 31 times. And you know, you could tell there were about five or six times Saquon got up, and you could tell
he looked like he took a hit to his thigh and that it was bothering him. You know, and that's the other reason why you pile up points on a bad team when you can, so you get a big lead, and then you can rest a guy like Saquon Barkley.
That game getting so close beat him up an extra 5 to 8 carries, no question. No question. All right, let's get calls in here. Bad of the Bone Award shortly, plus the Embiid situation, plus the Kelsey situation, Derek and Paoli. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning.
Hello, Derek.
What's happening, Derek?
Yeah, I'm with John. You should have been like that with the Eagles, man. You jumped the gun a little bit too soon in a bad way.
We'll see. We'll see how it nets out, but I'm happy that they're playing better.
The limiting fact that Jalen was the anchor around our leg.
Well, Derek, a few different things, just for what it's worth. Three of the four teams they've beaten in the last 4 weeks.
And that ain't got nothing to do with it, man. That's on their schedule, though, right? They got to play who's on the schedule.
They are, but... They may be three of the five worst teams in pro football. I mean, those teams are Jacksonville stinks. But look, Jalen did really well yesterday. I was very happy.
All right, well, this is the reason why I called. I don't know what word to use, but the Kelsey versus Embiid thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could say Embiid got to handle himself better. Absolutely. But at the same time, like, don't make up a different excuse for Kelsey, because if you want to walk around – like, he's a celebrity. He's a big-time celebrity now. So everybody's not going to like you, right? So if you're going to walk around, you're not a Penn State alum. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, I get it.
He didn't go to Penn State. He didn't go to Ohio State. He's not from Happy
Valley. Chances are that guy's not an Eagles fan. If I had to guess, he's probably a Steelers fan. I mean, it's a reasonable deduction that kid probably is a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Well, yeah, or a Baltimore Ravens.
Maybe,
or
but I say probably because
Commanders fan.
Maybe.
Potentially.
Maybe, sure.
My point is, he can't, like, and I like Kelsey. I think whatever y'all say he is.
He's a great guy.
You can't walk around places like that. Like Rhea said earlier, you want to walk around like that, either you got to take those slurs, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Or because what if like a bunch of those kids, that could have got way more uglier than the Embiid.
I don't know how he showed the restraint after the guy tipped him over.
That was intense.
But what if you got
there's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
When he got,
but Derek, I hear you. I don't disagree with your point that he has to be more careful, and that, you know, it could have gotten a lot worse. And look, Derek, good call. I mean, I hear you.
It feels so sad that it's getting ruined. Like, the Jason Kelsey experience feels like it's getting ruined.
Well, maybe out there, probably not here, for what it's worth. You know, I mean, I don't think that's likely to happen here, but I get it. I mean, he is in a different stratosphere now. He is. So he's got to recognize that and probably have more security. But I'll say this, even if you have security, someone can still say those comments to you. You can have seven security guards walking around you.
But they handle it. You don't.
No, I know, but you can still be very mad about it.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
And that can still escalate a situation because the words can pierce right through the air, even if there's seven 300-pound guys there. I mean, if you're 6 feet from 20 people, then someone can say something to you. So it's getting, you know, it's getting a little sticky there. 215-592-9494. All right, the Bad of the Bone Award, our version of game balls, who we hand them out to. That's coming up in 1 minute's time. 1 minute's time to game balls, Bad of the Bone. Hey, what a wild, and I mean wild time these days to be a Philadelphia sports fan. We all hope for a winner. Feeling better now about our football team. And I want to tell you about a team I know is a winner for sure, and that's the great squad leading the way in the forklift industry in the Delaware Valley. Andy and Brett Levin, the wonderful people at MHS Lift. You know, they're an award-winning, nationally recognized material handling equipment company that since 1970 has been offering everything that your warehouse needs. From forklifts and equipment rentals to racking solutions and warehouse optimization, MHS Lift does it all. And they always put the customer first. With over 100 service technicians on call, MHS Lift maintenance programs ensure your equipment runs smooth, minimizing downtime and maximizing efficiency. They've got a simple mission at MHS Lift to provide the best equipment, services, and integrated solutions to keep your operations moving forward. If you're ready to elevate your business, well, call MHS Lift and call them today at 888-MHS-LIFT. You can also go to this website, MHSLIFT.com. Guys, I'm telling you, gals, I'm telling you, they can flat out help your business. Guaranteed. They can help you. Get yourself to MHSLIFT.com. All right, 215-592-9494 to weigh in on the three different big things that are all happening. Conversion on our program today in Philadelphia sports. Embiid, Marcus Hayes. By the way, Paul George is expected to play tonight, so that's good news. Jason Kelce and that moron out there. And then obviously the Eagles' victory yesterday. Speaking of the Eagles' victory yesterday, let's do what we do, the Bad of the Bone Award. So I actually think more than maybe any time we've ever done this award, there is such a clear group for who is going to get our game balls today, with one possible exception. I think there's five players for four balls, but there's not six. I mean, to me, there's a clear five, but I'd even say a clear four. John, you always get first crack at it. I think his name will begin with an S, but we'll see.
I do too.
John Ritchie, first game ball goes to who?
Saquon. There was no way I could do without an S. Saquon. Saquon was awesome. I was a bit worried. As you said, you tack on an additional carry for one that didn't count. Totes were 31 in this game.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And
it's the most LeSean McCoy ever had with the Eagles. He had 31 carries in the game versus Washington, first game of 2013, first game under Chip. And then Chip never gave it to him that much again. You got to be careful. And let's remember, guys,
Saquon can endure a lot.
Oh, he can, but he's getting beat up there a little bit.
We've got a lot of season left with the way that we think this team can continue to grow and play. So, Saquon, amazing job in those 31 touches, 30 that really counted, 159 yards on the ground, and 5.9 a carry. It's just so robust. Everything about him just feels so robust. But then you've got the skill. Think about that first touchdown. The skill that he had to run that route and win in the back of the end zone and actually bring that ball in, catch that thing with the dexterity of a wide receiver back there in the end zone. That was special stuff. The guy can really do more all-in-one package than you've ever seen.
He's bonkers. Here I'll just say
totally
this, James, real quick before turning it to you for the next game ball. Saquon may not make the Hall of Fame because so many years were wasted in New York, and he did have injuries, and he just didn't have the accumulation of stats that most great running backs have because he had nothing around him. But, I mean, he might be the most
talented.
He might be the most talented running back that doesn't make the Hall of Fame since Bo Jackson.
I think he's the most talented I've seen. I said that. He can do everything.
He is so unbelievable. Anyway, James.
But that's the thing. Now we're finally getting to see it.
I know.
Just to think about that. We can magnify the greatness that we see potentially. Like, it's going to continue as long as his body holds out.
No question.
I can't wait to see this.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And by the way, Saquon's many plays, but the one in particular will be featured in the Merrill montage coming up in a few minutes. All right, James, next game ball, what do you got?
I don't know about you guys. I spend probably too much time thinking about who I'm going to give the game ball to. Like, I go to bed on Sunday nights thinking, all right, bad to the bone tomorrow. Uh-huh. And I really thought I was going to go another way. But when I get here in this moment, like, I have to give it to Jalen. Like, I thought he played an awesome game yesterday. The last four he's put together, the no turnovers, most games in his career he's gone without throwing an interception in a row. But also, a few things we haven't talked enough about today, he's taken checkdowns. I mean, he threw the ball to Saquon well yesterday throughout the game. He's throwing the ball to Calcaterra. He's making smart decisions. And then not only has he been great on the field, but we talk so much in the offseason and even in the training camp time with that Nick answer and then coming back about the off-the-field stuff, how he talks about the teammates, the coach, being a teammate. He's been flawless. Flawless in all of those departments. Like, we've talked a lot about how well he's doing. I don't think we're talking enough. Like, I think Jalen Hurts is having a tremendous season right now.
Well, I don't think he's having a tremendous season, but I think he had an outstanding game yesterday.
The numbers over the past 4 weeks are great. 12 touchdowns, zero turnovers, 4-0 record. He ranks first in the NFL in all three of those categories.
And he's high in QBR, high in quarterback rating. Like, when you look at the actual numbers, like, let me just throw this out there.
Sure.
It's what, end of week nine, like, Jalen Hurts for MVP is a real potential thing out there. I'm just throwing that out there. It's not the craziest thought to have.
We'll see where it goes. Ray, what do you got?
I did not think this guy would fall to me. How about I just pick the guy who won them the game, Nakobe Dean?
That's a big one.
He game-sealing interception and possibly saved Nick Sirianni's job because, frankly, if they had scored there and the Eagles lost that game, we'd be
having an entirely different show.
Yes.
Okay.
So, all right, so Nakobe's
5-3. No way they fired Nick.
Nakobe's play was phenomenal. And by the way, beyond just the play, he played well. He's been
we have a linebacker tandem.
Well, you got to put Bond. I think it's the best.
Much. I'm going to talk about Nakobe for a second. Much better than I and I think most of us anticipated entering this year. He's a great guy. I've gotten to know him a little bit, not too well, a little bit. I think he's a wonderful person. He's one of those players and people that when he succeeds, I'm really happy for.
You want to talk about resilience?
Really good guy.
He's had to deal already with some, I don't know, roller coaster action here.
It's got a Brandon Graham-esque thing to it,
you
right?
You stole the words out of my mouth. I feel the exact same way, man.
Yeah, it's got a...
This guy's tough. Know. Tough already. Already tough-minded. Already been through the ringer and back and tested.
All right, so my game ball obviously has to go to Devontae Smith. He's the clear next guy. And I knew those four would be the four set. In whatever order they're going to be said, Saquon, Jalen, Nakobe, and Devontae. Devontae was just, look, I'll never forget watching him play in the national title game during the pandemic. I remember watching it. I remember sitting there lying on my bed watching that saying, man, I hope this guy becomes an Eagle. Because you could tell he might. I think at that time they had the sixth pick and then
traded back to 12 and then up to 10. And
all that whole thing, right?
I can't
but
believe
they got him.
How amazing.
He's an incredible player. He's an incredible player.
And he steps up when AJ's out.
Yeah.
Like he does.
I know.
They needed him and he came through. By the way, we should mention Zach Bond too.
Honorable mention Zach Bond.
Yeah, like I thought until the Nakobe play, I was going to go with Zach Bond.
I know.
Yeah, so.
I agree. Zach Bond was next.
So together also. Like that. The fact that they know how one another is, where their help is, you know, where the other linebacker works and fits, you can see everyone.
And they're tackling, like literally converting the tackle, like tackle the person to the ground.
Great
and
call.
Tough defense,
and the play,
guys. We're getting tough hits from the defense. Like eventually, we're going to start feeling like we're intimidated.
That attitude develops with
teams,
the linebackers
like
and
this.
Cooper DeJean have helped that, and I'd say also Quinyon Mitchell bring us some of that.
That want to mix it up.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And
all right. So all of this on the table. 215-592-9494. The Merrill montage shortly. Joel's comments from Friday coming up soon. Plus Ray Dittinger at 7:55 today. Let's go to Salvador. Salvador, good morning.
Oh man, what a game, man! Did you see that?
No, I actually didn't watch it yesterday, Salvador.
Awesome, Salvador.
I'm pretty good at talking about it without seeing it. You know, it's.
Oh my God, man! So I didn't see. Did anybody give Devontae Smith a game ball?
Salvador, we did say 12 seconds ago. What do you got? Wax in your ears?
I was calling. I was in the middle of the game. He put me right up, dude. That was awesome.
Well, sometimes there's a glitch in the system, and the person that just called gets right. It's a whole thing. But anyway, all right, Salvador, go ahead, pal.
Dude, no, that was awesome, man. I was watching that game. I started going crazy. It was like, you know, I was about to turn it off in the middle of the third quarter, like right before everything started happening. I'm like, oh, my God, yo. It's like Doug Peterson was just, he was trying to win that game yesterday, man. I really think it was mainly, like, him trying to win that game.
Well, look, he's in a brutal spot. He's got no players, but
they
also,
didn't quit on him. That team fought for Doug. I think he gets a little credit for that.
A little bit, but I'll say this, Salvador. The game was much closer for two reasons that had nothing to do with him. The refs handed 7 points to the Jags.
Absolutely.
And Sirianni did have some miscues. I mean, some miscues that did take points off the board or not convert them. So I wasn't impressed with Doug.
And
you know, I
we
love him, but
we were up on that team. It was 22. What was it?
22-0.
Yeah. Like human nature, it's tough to fight human nature. Also, like you let your foot off a little bit when you're in that situation.
Yeah, I mean Salvador, he ain't going to be there. One of the things that it made me sad, and Salvador, thanks for the call, it made me sad yesterday during the game. Thinking was, this is the last time Doug Peterson will ever coach at Lincoln Financial Field
as a head coach.
Yeah.
Probably.
That's it. That was probably the... And I mean, don't make me happy, but it's what it probably is. All right, let's get to the Joel thing from Friday. There was obviously a lot going on, including Saturday night, with the interaction and altercation. I guess you can use that word. Not a high-end altercation, but to a degree of an altercation, as it's been reported with Marcus Hayes. But let's actually go back to Friday with Joel's comments that was the first notable thing in the weekend. I believe it happened shortly after our program on Friday when we were down at Borgata. Let's listen to what Joel said on Friday.
Rob, is there anything you have learned or taken from?
I came back early.
Sorry, double hit that. Ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
I broke my face twice. I came back early with the risk of losing my vision. Had broken fingers. I still came back. So I'm not going to see him be like, you know, when I see people saying he doesn't want to play, I've been way too much. I've done way too much, you know, for this city, and you know, putting myself at risk, for people to be saying that. So I do think he's bull. Like that dude, he's not here. Marcus, whatever his name is, I've done way too much for this city to be treated like this. So. Don't wait too much, but like I said, I wish I was as lucky as other ones, but that doesn't mean that I'm not trying and, you know, I'm not, you know, doing whatever it takes to be out there, which I'm going to be here pretty soon.
All right, so that's Joel on Friday, and I think everyone knows what happened on Saturday, you know, post-game in the locker room. So just dealing with the Friday comments for a second here, I thought Joel was reasonable on one hand and very unreasonable on another. So the reasonable part is he's right to say it's not fair, basically, that people say he doesn't want to play. Of course he wants to play. He doesn't not want to play. And I think his criticism of Marcus Hayes was fair also. I mean, I thought what Marcus wrote was out of bounds. And I think Joel, it was appropriate for Joel to publicly say it. And so I support Joel entirely on that. What was not reasonable about what Joel just said was, you know, he obviously has, with almost all of us, perhaps literally all of us, lost the benefit of the doubt on things like him being in shape. And so while it's impossible for us to know what happened over the last 2 to 3 months, because we don't know, we do know there have been enough times he hasn't come back quickly enough in proper shape due to taking care of himself enough that we're right to question, well, is this another time he didn't take care of himself? You know, was it unwise to play in the Olympics? Was he not prepared for the coming season in the way he should have been? So that's one point. The other point, which is a big one, and it's not really his job to be the person that has to articulate this, but I would have preferred he did since, you know, nobody else has. They're a PR disaster, and they put the public, the paying fan base, and the caring fan base, even if you don't pay for a game, in a compromised position to feel that there was like some fraudulent activity going on. That he
the NBA thought there was.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They find them.
Well, yeah. And I mean, so they had to already do an investigation on the Sixers season like 1 second after the season started. And so obviously he didn't address that. And that's a huge part of the storyline. You know, it's a huge part of the storyline. And he just kind of conveniently left that part out, which again, he doesn't have to address. But since no one is addressing it, it would have been nice if he had. So.
The bottom line is, once again, let's boil it down. He's not playing because he came back to camp 25 pounds overweight.
No, I don't think that's right. I think he's not playing because he's been injured. I think that's why he's literally not playing. And I think the second reason why he's not playing, if you will, like that's the reason. But I also think they have a plan. I mean, they've stated it. They haven't articulated exactly what it is, but they do clearly have a plan to play him less this year, and that ties in also. So, you know, it's look, we're all frustrated.
Do you think they
he's
knew
frustrated.
When he showed up that he was not ready to play?
Yeah, I'm sure they gave him a medical exam right away, and there was probably a doctor that said to Nick Nurse and Daryl Morey, hey, we got a problem.
Which We from the get-go, the frustration is just, you know, boiling under the surface of all of the interactions you know, with Nick Nurse and everyone. Well, just Nick Nurse, because he's sort of been
and
left.
Daryl Morey still hasn't talked.
Right.
Still hasn't talked. All right, so.
That is unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. You can react on the Embiid thing, obviously the Kelsey thing. Look, addressing the Kelsey thing, the kid or young adult, whatever the hell you want to call him, obviously an obnoxious jerk. Okay, that guy's totally out of line. Now, do I wish Jason hadn't reacted the way he did? Yeah, of course, because it escalated the situation. But it's also not easy. It is not easy to just walk away. I know we're kind of told, just walk away. Not easy. Not easy. I mean, you got your brother and potentially your future sister-in-law, like in the crosshairs of comments from someone who's 5 feet from you. So we can all say the just walk away thing. And yeah, like ideally
so
you do,
easy
but
to say. Sure.
But not easy, man. Not easy to do. And then for that kid, and yes, it's after Jason throwing the phone down, but for that kid to kind of topple Jason over for a moment when Jason had bent down to get the phone, this I think the second time, I forget the exact sequence, like you know, that's ridiculous. By that kid. Like, that kid is
what was he going
I can't
for?
Use the word I want to use, but he's not
he was clout chasing with the phone.
He was what?
He was clout chasing. That's
I've never
what they
heard
call
that
it.
Term. Clout?
That's what they call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, when you're trying to get go viral, essentially.
Yeah, he was trying to go viral. Anyway, that's why I had the phone up and was recording.
Look, we all love Jason. We respect him a ton. It'll be interesting when he addresses it. I imagine he'll address it tonight at the start of Monday Night Football, I would think. Right. I mean, he's scheduled to be on TV in about 11 hours or something. So we'll see what he says. And maybe he hasn't known what to say. My guess is he's probably very angry. My guess is he's probably conflicted on how to handle it. Just a guess. Probably conflicted. You know, ESPN might be in his ear saying stuff. You know, he could get in some trouble with ESPN. He could. You know, it's a complicated matter. I mean, it's got a lot of layers to it.
He's made it this far without getting jaded and aloof and standoffish with the fans, and he's just been the ultimate in interaction.
And he's a great guy. I mean,
for Philadelphians, period. I feel great being represented in a way by Jason Kelsey. Please don't let this ruin that relationship. please don't force Jason Kelce to retract, you know, like a turtle's head into the shell, because we just want to know him so badly. We want to know him, John, so badly that you go that far. That's too far. And now do we all have to pay the price? Well, I hope not.
Look, here's what I'll say to that. I mean, hopefully not entirely, but hopefully a little bit for his sake, meaning he obviously needs extra security and to take precautions to this point he hasn't taken. I mean, that's my sense. Because
if you can extract a positive, it's, hey, this is what we learned. Now moving forward, we need to beef up in this area so stuff like this doesn't happen.
No, it's not. No. I mean, there's always going to be a jerk out there, and he's going to be a target. It is a shame. It's incredible shame. All right, 215-592-9494 to react to all this, including the Eagles' victory. Merrill Montage, how it sounded yesterday. We'll get to that in a moment. Zach in Medford. Zach, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
What's happening, Zach?
Hi, Zach.
So I actually penned an open letter to the star of the most recent Hard Knocks, and I would like to read it if you would allow me.
The star of the recent? Who the heck was the star of the Hard Knocks?
Giants?
Giants,
yeah. Oh, the Giants, yeah. Well, no, that was the offseason, but well, whatever. Go ahead. The most recent, I guess, would be the preseason one, but anyway, go ahead.
So, dear Joe Shane, on behalf of Philadelphia fans, I would like to personally thank you for the gift of Saquon Barkley and the many highlights he's given, including a backward turtle. When you're inevitably fired, please report to Dallas. You will excel there, as you're clearly an expert on working with trash. Sincerely, Zach from Medford and the city of brotherly shove.
That's funny, Zach.
That's good work, Zach.
Outstanding.
That's pretty good, buddy. That's pretty good.
Thank you very much. And I was listening to the game balls, and I do just want to hit the point again. Just a quick shout out to my namesake. Zach Bond is a dog.
Yeah, he's way better than we knew.
He's all over the field, man. He flies around, that guy.
And I got to tell you, Zach, big time credit, whether it's Howie or Fangio, and it's probably Fangio, that first said, hey, let's look into signing this guy.
And make him a different position than he's basically been playing.
Right,
yeah.
Because you got that, and you got a guy that was not really a real starter. And when you find one of those guys, and it doesn't happen that often. Like, the Phillies pulled one of them with Shane Victorino. Like, who the heck was Shane Victorino? But then Worth. Now, Worth had been a pedigree
prospect.
Guy.
He was a first-round pick.
He was injured.
Yeah. He'd had an injury, and that derailed things. But when you add, and I'm not saying Zach Bond is that yet, but he looks pretty damn good. You know, he looks like a player that could be. Now, I don't even know, James, and Zach, good call. Is this a one-year deal?
People are calling for him to give him an extension.
Well, yeah.
Like right now.
Yeah. Duh.
I mean, he's
I guess that's right.
Yeah. I think he's earning himself some money.
He is, but are the Eagles going to pay a linebacker?
Well, they just paid a running back and it's working out.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, he could get some coin on the market.
You know what's funny, by the way, too, is we're almost 2 hours in the show and we have not yet mentioned the Eagles scored first quarter points.
I know.
We talked about it so much in 2 hours into the show. There's so many other things going on.
But, James, you know I'm very excited today about the Eagles. But to keep it real, super short field.
Yeah.
That was a defensive 7 points, not an offensive 7 points.
First quarter
points. I know. All right, let's listen to the game, how it went down. Merrill and Mike, they had some great calls yesterday. Let's listen. Wechter put it together. You know, I almost put out on Twitter after the game, poor Wechter having to put these montages together, because, John, that was a doozy yesterday. That game had twists and turns. I thought, oh, man, how does Wechter do it each week? Well, somehow he does. Eagles got another win. It's 4 in a row. Going to need a montage.
We're going to need a montage. Ooh, it takes a montage.
Here is the punt by Braden Mann. It is a wobbler. Coming up, taking it as Trammell. He's hit. He fumbles, and I think the Eagles have it. Back goes Hurts. He is floating it for Barkley, who catches it for a touchdown.
This is a difficult catch, but he makes it for a 20-yard touchdown.
Attention, the Eagles have scored in the first quarter for the first time this season. He fires it out in the flat to Barkley, who beats one man, spins past another, leaps over a third, and comes down at the 30.
What was that? I've never seen that move, and I've been watching football all my life. He hurdles a guy backwards.
What?
What am I watching?
Back goes Lawrence. He pumps, he fires. It is deflected, and it is intercepted by the Eagles on the deflection. Zach Bond. They hand the ball off to Barkley.
Well,
he's at
this.
The 10. He's at the 5. Touchdown!
and they get it. They push, and they shove, and they move the pile, and they do not get the extra points. But they're still up 16 to nothing. Hurts this time, fakes it, keeps it. He's at the 10, he's at the 5. Touchdown, leaping Jalen Hurts. And they tried the tush push at the end of the first half. They push, and they shove, and
they're waving it off again.
Hurts comes back. He gives it off to Barkley. Barkley crawls along the ground, fumbles the football. The Jaguars pick it up. They're running down the field, and in for the touchdown goes Trayvon Walker. This time it is a sneak, and it is a touchdown. It is a touchdown as Trevor Lawrence goes in on a one-yard quarterback sneak.
Now there's a reason for concern.
The push-tush, which has failed two straight times for extra points, Hurts. He is rolling. He is looking. He stops. He's coming back the other way. He is firing it, and it is incomplete. And the Eagles are in trouble.
So many misfires in this football game.
Here goes Hurts, going for the end zone. Devontae Smith, he caught it one-handed.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if
what
he stayed. He's
Smitty.
In! He's in!
Oh, my
one
goodness.
One hand. I don't know how he did it.
Smitty is unbelievable.
Back goes Lawrence. He's looking. He's looking. He's going to run. He is in for the touchdown. It is 28-22. They will kick the extra point to make this a five-point game. 4:04 remaining to be played in this game. Lawrence back. Lawrence looks. Firing for the end zone. Intercepted! Intercepted the Kobe Dean! The Eagles are going to escape! The Kobe Dean saved the game! And the Eagles have beaten the Jacksonville Jaguars 28-23.
Well, it really was, in many ways, a very cool game. Now, there was got a lot hairier than we wanted. Obviously, that was a frustration point. But I will remind everyone, I mean, the NFL handed the other team 7 points. Just, here, other team, take
and
seven.
Their explanation was ridiculous.
It was absurd. I mean, he obviously was tackled. Not your classic, like, Dick Butkus tackle. But he was tripped by the guy, which influenced him going down to the ground. Ball pops out because he hits the ground. Like, what are we doing here? It was outrageous. All right, great job by Wechter putting that together. Really nice job by the Eagles rebounding from a strange 2-2 to a now probably grabbing people's attention in pretty big ways, 6-2, which has been a great stretch by them. All right, for more on this, let's talk to Ray Dittinger. Ray Diddy joins us every single Monday at this time. He's always brought to us by Verizon. Phones were not made to be broken, but life happens. So when your phone breaks, Verizon's got you. Trade in any phone at your local Verizon store in any condition guaranteed and get a great deal on one of their best 5G phones with unlimited ultimate, the Diddy. He's the ultimate, Ray Dittinger. Ray Diddy, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Joe. How are you doing?
Happy, Ray.
Mm-hmm.
We got a season, Ray. And look,
Joe finally sort of believes in our quarterback today.
Well, I'm not as far down the track, Ray, as John is, but I was very impressed and encouraged with Jalen yesterday. What'd you make of his performance, Ray?
Oh, it was really good. It was just four straight games with a quarterback rating over 119. It's the first time in the history of the franchise anybody's done that.
That sounds outstanding.
So he's playing really good football. Yeah, and you know, the bottom line on him is, of course, four straight games without turning the ball over. If he can just keep playing that way with the players they have on this offense, they're going to be a very, very hard team to stop. And you know, I mean, we can talk endlessly about this game and about the performance of Saquon Barkley, which is becoming otherworldly by the week, it seems. But you know, one of the things one of my takeaways from this game is just how good Hurts looks compared to the guy we saw at the end of last year. I mean, it's a stark difference. I mean, he now is moving and running and making plays with his legs more than he did last year. I mean, he looks now to me, in terms of that kind of stuff, he looks like he did 2 years ago. I mean, he really, and I think part of it is Barkley. I think part of it is the fact that Barkley's in there and becomes such a big part of the offense that Jalen doesn't have to take the hits that he's taken before. And as a result, he's, you know, he's got more. He's just got a lot more quickness. He's got a lot more ability to run. And you know, when he took off on that one run, when he just tucked the ball away and just started up the middle, it looked like the guy of a couple of years ago. And we haven't seen that for a while, but I think it's here now. And I think having Barkley in the backfield to lean on is a big part of that.
I totally agree with you, Ray. He does look faster and just more decisive, and it's great. What he did yesterday, what Jalen did yesterday was great. Ray, so let's address the Saquon thing. We all know he's amazing. I love your term, otherworldly. That's a great one. I want to present what I think is a tough question to you, and I'm curious where you come down on our Twitter poll question of the day today. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Proud to again be Pennsylvania's number one Chevrolet EV dealer. Now in stock, the Equinox, Blazer, and Silverado EVs. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. So, Ray, we've all seen thousands of Eagles plays. You've seen more than us. In my opinion, the best I ever saw, pure athletic, brilliant play that I ever saw, was Randall's touchdown versus, you know, Buffalo in 90, Bruce Smith evading him in the end zone, the heave to Fred Barnett, the whole thing.
Right.
Our Twitter, because, and I'm not talking about like the Philly special, which is way more important, Brandon Graham's strip sack, way more important, like pure athletic brilliance and awareness that goes into it. Which play, Ray, in your opinion, is more impressive? Saquon's yesterday or Randall's in 1990 against Bruce Smith?
Well, two different plays, obviously. One's a quarterback, one's a running back. One involves a throw, the other one doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to, you know, to me it's not exactly apples to apples. But
you're saying, Ray, it's a tough one.
No, yeah, it is. But I'll say this. I've never seen anything like it. I've been watching football a long time, and after 13 years at NFL Films, looking through all the footage in that vault, I think I've pretty much seen everything. I think I've pretty much seen everything that's happened on an NFL playing field. I've never seen a guy do what he did yesterday. I've never seen a guy have a reverse hurdle of a tackler.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before. But that's what this guy's capable of.
Is it sustainable, this level of dependency on Saquon? Ray,
I kind of think so, John. I kind of think so. I mean, look, anything can happen on any given carry. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that. But
yes.
I don't get the feeling that he's wearing down. I don't get the feeling that he's at risk. I don't think so.
If anything, I like to imagine that he's more protected than he was when he was up in New York. I like that now he's got a better chance for, I don't know, like physical survival after.
But Ray, I'll say this. There is still a long way to go. I mean, assuming they don't get the one seed, which they probably won't, but could. You know, 8 games down, 13 to go to win a Super Bowl. I mean, he was getting pretty beat up yesterday. And 31 touches in a game is a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. But I'm not. It doesn't scare me. I mean, yeah. I think that
you're comfortable with it, right. Ray. I feel 31 touches. Well, really 30 touches officially.
But he had the one that got called back. So it was 31.
It feels scary to me a little bit.
Yeah.
But then I think about Ray's. We're talking about a workhorse back. Saquon Barkley has carried the load before, and he knows how to do this.
Ray, let's get to the QB sneak, as the Eagles have evolved it. Are you worried that it...
Why did it break?
Is being figured out? Is that because you got a different guard in there? Is that because you don't have Dallas Goedert in there to push Jalen? Like, what do you make of that issue?
Combination of all of those factors. Teams have obviously studied this, and I think they have their own ideas. And I think they have a better idea now of how to deal with it. And I think now that some teams are having success stopping it, defenses will actually. I think there was, especially over the last year, there was a feeling of almost resignation on the part of the defense that at fourth down they're going to line up in this. We can't stop them. You know, I mean, we'll try, but, you know, they're going to make it. Well, now it's not so much. I mean, now defenses are they can look at the film and say, hey, teams are stopping these guys now. So they're going to line up with a whole different mindset. than they were a year ago. And so the fact that defenses are better prepared for it, and obviously study and prepare for it during the week, and now we're having some success in doing that, is going to make it tougher. And the other part of it is you do have different people out there. You know, you don't have Mailata, you don't have Kelsey, who to me was really the key to the whole thing. You don't have him. You had different right guard. It's different people. And so, I mean, it's both of those things at work. And that's going to make things, you know, I think they're still going to make it more often than they won't. But it does have to influence your thinking as a coaching staff during the games about where are we now and can we do this and know that we're going to make it. Now it's a more open question.
Ray, a lot of people upset with Nick Sirianni's decision-making yesterday. I wonder, do you think it's possible that he, in his decision-making, has been more aggressive in terms of going for it because his list of assignments on game day has been sort of pulled back to where, you know, this is one of the things he really has, one of the few things he has left that he makes decisions on? Is it, and it's a decision to go for it or not to go for it in many cases that sends a message to his team when he says, yeah, let's go for it. Let's go for the touchdown on fourth down, that he believes in them. Isn't it really difficult for him to resist that temptation when his list of duties has been sort of restricted at this point?
Could be. I mean, could be. I think it goes beyond that, though.
He's being too aggressive with it because this is the only thing that there is.
I don't. I don't know how much that factors into it. I don't know that these decisions are made impulsively. I don't know that they're made on the spot. I think that they're stuff that this team talks about during the week, and I think it just comes down. It becomes part of the day-to-day operation down there. Look, we all know how much of the analytics, how much the analytics thing has become a part of what, you know, not just the Eagles, but teams throughout the league, hell, across all sports, is that kind of decision making is being taken over to a large degree by the analytics department, and I think it's something that is talked about in the building. Not just on Sunday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon when you have to make the decisions. You're talking about it on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going for it on fourth down. It's a fourth and three or less. We're going for it. Or, you know, the analytics tell us the 2-point conversions. You're going to make them most of the time, and you're better off doing it. So we're going to do it. And it just becomes part of what you're thinking. It almost isn't. I think everybody thinks it's a spontaneous decision that's made on the spot. I honestly don't think it is. I think it's something that that you've talked about all week, and that's just kind of the way you're going to roll. And yesterday almost cost you the game. I mean, it really did. I mean, there was, if Nick had taken the easy points, if he had taken the two makeable field goals and just gone for PATs instead of 2-point conversions, they're up 3 touchdowns with 7 minutes to go. And guess what? Saquon Barkley's on the bench. Kenny Gainwell is taking those carries that you're talking about. You know, he's not pushing 30 touches. He's on the bench and he's perfectly fine with it. But you found yourself fighting for your life with 2 minutes to go in a game that you had fully in hand at the end of three quarters. And why? Because of the decisions the head coach made. I mean, there's no question about that. And so, listen, they're 6-2, and they're in great shape right now. I mean, they're heading down to Dallas to play a crippled Cowboys team. The week after that, they play Washington in a very big game, but they play them at home on a short week, which is always tough for the visiting team. Everything is really falling into place for this team right now. It really is. If you're an Eagles fan, you got to feel really good about where they are right now.
So, Ray, I hear you on a good chunk of the Sirianni thing you said, but I just want to push back on this one thing. Because I thought he should have kicked the field goal 4th and 3, first half. I thought he should not have kicked the 57-yard field goal 4th quarter. But don't you think when the other team has a penalty and you can run a 2-point conversion from the 1-yard line with Jalen Hurts, this offensive line, and Saquon Barkley, don't you think he should? Even if 3 announcers in the booth say he shouldn't. Like, wouldn't you say 1-yard line, 2 points, or extra point, shouldn't they go for the 2 points?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I don't think it's as easy as just, yeah, sure, go for it. You know, I mean, in the situation that you had, there are so many situations early in the game. I mean, you're up 20 points. What's 2 points? I just take them. just take them.
Okay.
You know, you say, oh, we got the penalty. We're half the distance. We're right there. You can't be stopped. Yeah, you can, because you saw that yesterday. You know, it's this to me is a real, and it's not just with Philadelphia. It's across the league now. It's become kind of an institutionalized way of thinking about these games, where I see coaches walk away from sure points all the time because they're either going for the bigger score, and winds up biting them in the butt. I mean, it wound up costing Dan Campbell a playoff game last year, you know, and and that's an organization that is very much like the Eagles, which is very much analytics-driven. And that led the Detroit Lions to a decision that maybe cost them a shot at the Super Bowl. And so that's the kind of way you have to look at it. I am stubbornly old school in many ways, in the way I look at the game, the way I approach the game. But that doesn't mean I'm wrong. And in the NFL, it is hard to score points. And when they're right there in front of you, take them. Okay? Unless you're in the fourth quarter and you know you're behind, and you know you're in a situation where, look, we got to take some chances here. We got to go for the bigger score. We got to go for it on fourth down here. Field goal isn't going to help us. Or in this case, yeah, we got to go for the 2 points as opposed to the one. That's in those situations, yeah, I understand why you have to do that. Why you have to do it with a 20-point lead in the first half of the game, I don't get that. If it's there in front of you, just take it.
All right, Ray, a couple quick final things here. How does the replay booth not rule Saquon Barkley down, that he was tackled and it's not a fumble? I mean, how do they not see that?
I don't know. I mean, to me, it was so obvious. I mean, I never, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, why is this taking so long? I mean, to me, it was obvious almost from the moment it happened. I don't know how they blew that one. And that was one of the other things. Look, there are so many things you can discuss about Barkley's brilliance, about Hurts's performance, about Nick's coaching. so many things you could talk about with this game. But lost in that was, I thought this was a horribly officiated game.
Yep.
I really did. And sadly, that's become almost the way of life in the NFL. I mean, officiating in the NFL to me, is really an issue, you know, and I don't know if the boys up on Park Avenue or how much time they've been talking about this or worried about this. You know, they're too worried about, you know, sending the Giants over to play in Germany. I mean, they're more concerned about selling T-shirts in Dusseldorf than they are about the state of their game, I suppose. But, I mean, these are discussions that they should be having at the highest level about the officiating. Because you look across the league, you watch games Thursday nights, Monday nights, whenever. I mean, the officiating is so bad right now. And yesterday's game, the Eagles game, I mean, there are a million things you want to talk about other than that. But there was a lot of situations in this game that just left me scratching my head. That was the biggest one.
Yeah.
Because that was a true game turner.
Oh, yeah. It handed them 7 points. It was a joke. It was like, here, take 7 points.
Right on the heels of them having scored. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it totally changes the game, and it's inexcusable.
Totally.
I mean, with today's technology, that's what the replay system was meant to get rid of.
Yep.
That was the kind of stuff that the replay system was supposed to take out of the game. Oh, we got replay. The call, get it right.
Yeah,
get
it right. Totally.
Well, there it was, and you got it wrong.
Totally. All right, Ray, two final things, and they're both, you know, big topics that if it wasn't after an Eagles game, we'd be doing the whole show on these things. Floor is yours on the Joel Embiid situation. Just whatever part of it, his comments Friday, the thing Saturday with him and Marcus Hayes, what are your thoughts?
I don't know what to make of it. I mean, Joe, I don't know where to go with that. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
It's a lot. I know.
Yeah, I mean, it's too much for me to try. It's too much for me to try to tackle in the 30 seconds you got left. So, I mean, here's the one thing. I'm looking at it from Marcus's standpoint. In my years in the business, in my years when I was a sports writer, the one thing that I never wanted to do was I never wanted to become part of the story. You know, I was there to write the story. I was there to cover the news, but I was not there to be the story. And not that Marcus intended to do that. Not that Marcus intended for that to happen. But that's where he found himself. And that's, you know, that's not an easy place to be. And I feel sorry for him. I got into it one time in my life, and it was not a. And believe me, it was before the days of talk radio. It was before ESPN. It was before podcasts and social media. So it wasn't nearly the brouhaha that this became. But I can tell you, as a reporter, that's a bad place to be.
And what about the Kelce thing? I mean, maybe that one's too loaded to unpack in 30 seconds also, but any thoughts there?
I don't, you know, I clearly the kid, from what I saw, and I just saw a little clip on YouTube.
Yep.
The kid at Penn State was way out of line.
Totally. No question.
The kid was way out of line. You know, Jason, he would have been better served to just walk away from it. I think that I can't think of anything I would always say to an athlete other than that. If in situations like that, if you're an athlete, you're recognizable, and you're recognizable to the degree that this guy is recognizable. You just gotta. If somebody shouts something, you just gotta let it go in one ear and out the other, and walk away from it. I mean, whether you go back and confront the guy, whether you smash his cell phone, whenever you engage, there's nothing to be gained by that. You're better off to just walk away from it and ignore it. And you know, Jason's become such a big celebrity now. I think where he goes, he almost needs security.
Yep.
You know. I think it's gotten to the point now with him and his brother. Well, his brother obviously has it when he's with Taylor Swift because she has her own. But, I mean, it's gotten to the point now where they are such huge personalities that when they're in those situations, when they're in those, you know, those TV situations or those event-type situations, it's gotten to the point now where I think he needs a couple people with him to just make sure that that kind of thing doesn't happen again.
Totally agree. Yeah, totally. Hey, Ray, stay well. By the way, reminder to everyone listening, interviews like this with Ray, Seth Joyner today at 9 to 10, they're all going to be posted on the Odyssey app. So if you miss any portion of the show, Sirianni tomorrow, Jaws tomorrow, Mike Quick this week, Brandon Graham, like all these what we think are, you know, pretty damn prominent interviews, you can always get them on the Odyssey app, including Ray, every Monday with us after the game. Ray, have a great rest of the day, pal. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, you do the same. Take care, guys.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.